Today's program has been brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Greg Bresnitz.
And I'm Darren Bresnitz. We're the host of Snacky Tunes.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. It is that wonderful time of the year where we're all trying to spread the joy around to those we love without spreading ourselves too thin. Yeah, right, I know. But they do always say that the best things to buy with your money aren't the physical stuff, but experiences. And here on Pizza Party, we think the gift of pizza is the best experiential present of all. But don't take our word for it.
On a still warm fall evening, I got the pizza education of a lifetime. A four-hour pizza-making intensive at Pizza a Casa, a so-called pizza self-sufficiency school on New York's Lower East Side. They invited me to an evening class on the house, but there was one catch. It was a couples class.
I warn you, I can get really nerdy about pizza, so bring it on, but stop me if I go too deep with the details.
That sounds like my kind of guy, but it's not my date. That's Pizza a Casa's founder and lead teacher, Mark Bellow. I'm single and sort of ready to mingle, which is how I came to be set up on the coolest and only blind date I've ever been on. This wasn't your average setup either. It was a setup in honor of two of my greatest loves, pizza and radio. My date was Aaron Ginsberg, host of Gunwash. Our matchmaker was our executive producer, Jack Inslee.
This is really intense. We don't know each other very well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're on a blind date. You know about that?
I didn't know if it was a blind date or it was like...
Our producer set us up.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Cool.
We're having a time of our lives. Yeah.
Thanks, Jack. Doing great so far.
Though I can't think of a better setup than a fellow radio host and pizza, there was that usual bit of first date awkwardness.
It's getting real.
Yeah. Hey, cheers. Cheers, pal.
Cheers.
I wash my hands. I guess I won't touch my phone anymore because my phone is like...
Sorry, I should do that too.
Yeah.
However, we were cheersing 6-point sweet actions, and Aaron had bailed on a late night at the office to be my partner in crime for churning out homemade pizzas. How bad could it be?
Yeah. Oh.
Now we are. Yeah.
Uh-oh, trouble. It's the turn on the oven alarm. Just
whew, we were in the clear. As eight couples sat around the specially designed workstation and spit out some group introductions, we were on to the main event. Here's Mark walking us through the setup.
The oven we're using in our class today, this is a home oven, okay? So this oven goes up to 550 degrees. Now, everyone has an oven at home, correct? Yes, okay. Does anyone have a pizza oven by any chance?
Not yet.
Thank you. That's the answer I like to hear. I'm going to show you how to get a really legit, like, restaurant quality, crispy, charred, if you wanted, pizza in a 550-degree oven.
I'd seldom heard such romantic words. The base of any pizza, and any really worthwhile relationship as far as I'm concerned, is a solid, well-made dough. With that, I tackled my fear of yeast-based recipes and followed Mark's instructions.
So first thing, with making your dough, we all know this. Yeast, correct? Active dry yeast. One packet. We're going to measure out 12 ounces of water. Now, if you look on the chart that's on your little handout in your bowl, it says 12 ounces of water, 100 to 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay? Who owns a kitchen thermometer? Yeah. A lot of people don't, right? Yeah. Most people don't unless they had to make turkey one Thanksgiving and then they got a kitchen thermometer. Yeah. Here's the thing. Thermometers, you know, are important for certain, you know, candy making, all that kind of stuff. For this, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for warm water. I'm not looking for hot because too hot is going to kill the yeast and cold is not going to activate the yeast right away. So think about it this way. If you don't have a thermometer, you are 98.6 on a good day. If the water feels warm to the touch, the water's fine. If it feels hot to the touch, that's just where you want to be careful because you don't want to kill the yeast with too hot water.
I feel like I'm in a science class. Okay, go for it. So, I'm blaming you if it goes wrong.
Well, listen.
Oh, it's bubbling. Yeah. Is that good?
That's good, right?
That's good.
We're activating the yeast, yeah.
However, it's not the yeast that proves to be the real hurdle in a blind date situation. It's the topping selection. Pizza Akasa is not messing around with their toppings. They've got everything from hot honey to ricotta to sliced potatoes to chocolate sauce and all the fresh herbs you could ever want.
We have to have a super awkward conversation about toppings later.
Oh my god, I'm really scared about that.
Well, yeah. Also, you guys have four pizzas that you're going to be able to make, so don't even worry about it.
Trying to create drama where there is none.
I haven't even talked about that.
We also weren't the first people to attempt romance at Pizza Akasa. Turns out that since Mark and his wife Jenny opened the school in 2009, the place has been a hotbed for romantic activity.
The New York Post sent this couple here a couple weeks
ago. Wait, what?
No, it's just two people that called Meat Market, like M-E-E-E-T, and they came here and they had a day. They had fun. Yeah, I don't think it
didn't work out.
There were not sparks, but they had a lovely time, made some great pizzas.
I'm confused.
We've had three proposals, though, in here.
Three proposals.
So the oven, we grabbed a bottle of sriracha, and he wrote, "Will you be mine?" It was great. Yeah, that was pretty great.
There was no proposal in our class. Aaron wasn't that smitten, unfortunately. But once we got into the swing of things, we created some pretty harmonious pies, including a dessert pie with ricotta, chocolate, strawberries, blueberries, and cinnamon that was a pretty sweet end to the evening. The music was blasting, the pies were flying into and out of the oven, and everyone left a little bit more in love with pizza than they were before. For Heritage Radio Network and Pizza Party, this is Talia Ralph.
We are lucky enough to have Mark and Jenny Bello in here today. You're already laughing at my pun.
Yes.
Very cute.
The co-owners
of
Pizza.
That one got a rise out of us.
We're going to have all the pizza puns on the show today. Mark and Jenny are the co-owners and teachers at Pizza Akasa, though you guys also have other teachers as well and guest classes, which we will talk about in just a second. But thank you guys so much for being with us here.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
For sure. So, first things first, I mean, I took a couples class with Aaron Ginsberg, another one of our hosts. And so, you know, romance was in the air. It was our first and only blind date that we'd ever had. But there were a lot of couples in the room. And you guys actually have a great how you met story. I think you met over pizza, right, Jenny?
It's true. We did.
It's great. Yeah. What was the story there?
Mark was making pizzas and I was in the kitchen plucking rosemary for the potato rosemary pizza, and that's how we met.
Where were you? Were you in Chicago at the time?
We were in New York.
New York.
Yep. Jenny's brother had a bar in Brooklyn, and I had done a couple of pizza events there, and one day for the event, I was told, hey, your assistant is my sister.
And that was that.
You know, it was interesting because the relationship sort of, we were friends for about a year, and here we are.
Yeah. Running pizza schools. What sort of prompted you to start making pizza, Mark? I love your story of just like how you began making homemade pizza and how it transitioned. Like, talk to us about how you came to be, you know, the co-owner and co-teacher at a pizza school.
Did I show you my bracelet in class? I don't remember.
No, you did not.
So, like, you know, I'm wearing a black silicone bracelet, like the style of like a Livestrong bracelet. This one happens to say death before deep dish on it.
And
not to offend anyone, lovers of deep dish, because I've been there too. But here's the deal. I was in Chicago. I went to graduate school in Chicago, and, you know, I was born and raised in New York and New Jersey. So when I hit Chicago in the early 90s, my pizza options were deep dish and just, you know, a lot of chain places. So I started making my own pizza for fun.
And this was like pre-YouTube era, right? How were you learning? Was it just like trial and error, or how?
It was trial and error. And then what happened? So I have an art degree. I got out of school. I have a master's in sculpture. Go figure. Pizza school.
You make pizza. You make pizza sculptures. Yeah.
So. Right? And so I get out of school, and then I actually got into the furniture business. And we had this really big window display space where I used to do these really fun window displays that were just an excuse to basically write off my art materials and make these, like, Halloween was always like a black light 3D glasses explosion thing we would do. So woman I was dating at the time, her roommate's boyfriend is a pizza maker, and he liked our windows and said, introduce me to Mark. I would love to help. And then next thing I know, 7 o'clock after he'd worked the day shift at this pizzeria, he would show up with pizzas that he custom made for us, like a thinner crust pizza. And he'd source all these great ingredients and all that stuff. And that's about 20 years ago now. And this man is my best friend. He was the best man at our wedding. And when we're not teaching pizza classes, that's the guy who's teaching. Did you meet Neil? I don't think you did.
I didn't.
You must meet Neil. Yes.
Awesome.
He's
the best.
He's the man.
And Jenny, what about you? What was your like pizza origin story? How did you come to know and love and make it?
Not a direct path. It was not in my background at all. You know, really it came through Mark. Before that, I taught French. So, you know. Life leads us in different directions that we don't expect, and
but teaching,
it's such a great adventure, you know. We've just had so much fun with it. So
And you guys actually got married in one of New York's most beloved pizza restaurants, Polly G's, right? But that was like an accident. I told you that I was gonna make you tell the story again on air because it's great, but can you tell us?
Sure. Well, it wasn't an accident that we ended up there. Our reception was supposed to be there. But the plan was this. We live in Chinatown, and we, like, right down the street from us on the East River, there's this whole beautiful sort of promenade there. And we had pulled a permit for 65 of our dearest friends and family to assemble. And we were going to have dim sum and coffee and have our ceremony. And then from there, go to Pier 11, jump on the ferry, and then to Greenpoint. And then the reception was at Pauly G's. We were married October 28th, 2012. The day before that, an uninvited guest named Sandy showed up. And we had to think really fast. You know, what are we going to do? And the master of our officiant for the ceremony is our good friend Scott Wiener. Do you know Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Pizza
he
Tour
was
Scott.
On the show last week.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Cool.
Coincidentally.
Nice. So Scott was to actually marry us at 10, and then he actually had a tour that had booked months before, so he couldn't make it to our reception, but we were going to meet him later, blah, blah, blah. Because of the storm, we were not able, there were no ferries. We knew this the day before. And, Scott called, Polly and Marianne, his wife, and, you know, they have a bunch of rules, like no ceremonies in their space, all this kind of stuff. And an exception was made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were so sweet.
Yeah, they were amazing. In fact, we don't go out for pizza a lot, but Monday night, this is our second time out for pizza this week.
Mm-hmm.
We a German couple that had taken our class a number of years ago, actually also right around Hurricane Irene, the class was postponed. I know, it's not a hurricane.
Yeah.
They're back in New York for a visit, and so we met up with them and took them to Pauly G's.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yep.
So, when did you start Pizza Akasa? How long was it after you got married that you were like, this is what we should do?
Oh, Mark started Pizza Akasa in 2007, right?
Yeah. I mean, I incorporated Pizza Akasa Inc. I think it was like 2007. The storefront opened April 15th, 2010, and we were married in 2012. So.
Awesome. And yeah. I love your subtitle. It's Pizza Akasa, a pizza self-sufficiency center.
Yes.
Who came up with that? Is there a story behind it? I just think it's a great... That's what caught my eye the first time I walked by it before I had met you guys or knew about the classes.
Yeah. You know, it was a friend of ours, Randy Antonia. She's an architect. And she... I'm trying to remember. She had taken a class with me, or a friend had taken a class, and then she hired me to do... like a class in someone's apartment. It was a bunch of people that all worked together at this architecture firm. And through the years, we've been friends, and she's just been a big, you know, cheerleader for what I was doing at the time. This was before actually even knowing Jenny. And she wrote like a testimonial for me. And she just said, like, it was talking about, you know, 2008 when like the economy was, you know, so-and-so and all that. And she just said how valuable what I was showing people was, because I wasn't just giving them a good time. Like you saw in the class. I mean, it's a fun evening. You eat great pizza. It's all that, but really, you know, it's a life skill that you're going to have. So she mentioned something about teaching, you know, pizza self-sufficiency, and I loved it. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. So how have you seen the shop and your classes sort of grow and change over the years? 'Cause it's been 2007.
Yeah, well, the shop 7 years? Opened in 2010. Okay. And just in that process has been really interesting. You know, people are learning more about pizza just in general, I think. And so in 2010, we had to explain a lot more. People seem to know what a pizza stone is more. Mm-hmm. But we get people from, you know, everywhere. So all different backgrounds. And it's just interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any Italians? That would be intimidating.
I would say, yeah. They're like the toughest customers. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, even when we go to Italy, like when we go on a trip, we're always looking to learn new things. And we'll ask people, like, do you know of any good cooking classes? They're just like, just ask your grandma, you know, cook with her. And it's like,
introduce
me to your grandma, you know, whatever. But, the Italians are kind of funny. You know what we see? Ran some stats, and I think first and foremost, we have people coming from the tri-state area, the great pizza states of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And then second is international tourists.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah. We get a lot of people from the United States, but we have a lot of people from Australia.
Interesting.
They know how to party. They're a lot of fun.
They don't have good pizza there, maybe. I don't know. I've never been there.
Yeah. Well, we also get a lot of people who are like, from Long Island, but now live in Australia, and they're like, help. It's kind of, I feel their pain, like my Chicago thing, you know?
Right.
But like Asia, the Middle East, the South Pacific, like all over the place.
Yeah.
Next project is get a map and a bunch of thumbtacks, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's probably because pizza and New York are so intimately, you know what I mean? Like when I think New York iconic foods, I think it's a tie for pizza and bagels first, you know? So maybe that is sort of a thing. Like in New York, you want to make pizza on the Lower East Side too, which is...
It's also just universally loved. Like everyone loves it, you know?
Yes.
It's really interesting.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. So for people who can't take the class or who take the class and, you know, space on something, you guys have an app, right?
We do. Yes.
Is there a tough market out there for pizza cooking apps, or you guys think like yours is the ultimate one? I mean, you flip through it in the class and I've seen it. It's pretty solid. But so how did you come to decide like, hey, this is what we need. We need an app.
Well, because we were actually in the process of shopping around a book. Mm-hmm. We had an agent and we had a number of publishers that were interested in doing it. But I felt kind of that I collect pizza books. I've got like every book in English and a bunch in Italian and French and blah, blah, blah. And I felt like a lot of the books sort of fell short on like, there were a lot of recipes and there seemed to be a lot of filler recipes too, just to have 100 recipes. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a book that really talked about the technique and the handling of the dough, which is something you saw in the class too, you know, which is like a big pizza epiphany for people, which is like,
wow,
I can really stretch this. And this dough is beautiful. And it's really, you know, so the same way in the class, we show you how to make a really amazing dough and using ingredients you can find in a grocery store and how to, you know, rest it, all that, and then stretch it. So the app one allowed us, we self-financed it. So we were able to write the book we wanted to write. And then given that it's a dynamic format, the app is like an 8-chapter cookbook. There's 70 plus videos in it.
Cool.
It's really great. And now the book is actually coming around because now the recipes are really here and the technique part. I'm just figuring my ultimate book would be like something with like lenticular pages that when you like tilt the book, it shows you like, you know, animations.
So, that would be very cool. Yeah.
That's how you put a video in a book.
And you probably could have used this app back in the 90s when you were like in your apartment in Chicago trying to figure out how to make decent.
Well, I kind of thought of the way that the way that we explain things in class and then the way that it's articulated in the app too is with that in mind. And you know, the thing about our classes is we're just about to click in our 30,000th pizza that we've made in our classroom with our students.
Wow.
And it's, you know, a conservative estimate between since the store's been open and what I was doing beforehand, I'd say I've taught 20,000 people pizza making.
Definitely.
And in a home setting with a home oven, you know, that kind of thing. So often when I see like a story about home pizza making, but they're asking someone who runs a pizzeria, you're like, yes, they make great pizza. Yes, they know what they're doing. But like, we are so dialed into what it is to do it in a home setting with somebody who, you know, I mean, we specialize in people who have never made toast before, you know, that kind of thing. So, so it was really fun. And the nice thing with the app too is like, the videos, just kind of organically came about as we were putting it together. So, but anyway, can I say the name of the app?
Yeah, please do. And where people can find it is just on the iTunes store?
Or? Very easy. Yeah. Just go to DIYPizzaPie.com.
Nice.
Yeah. You like that?
That was a good URL to buy to get some real estate on. We have plenty more pizza self-sufficiency and pizza gift giving to discuss. But first, we are taking a quick break to catch you up on all the pizza news of the week.
Pizza news brief.
The ridiculous pizza wars continue as chains all across America try and one-up each other with the most disgusting and insane pizza toppings ever. This week, enter Domino's Doritos Crunchy Crust Pizza, which is a pizza crust topped with Doritos and held together by mozzarella cheese. In a very strange twist of fate, this is not available in America. It's currently being sold in Australian Domino's only, which is maybe why Australians are coming to Pizza Akasa to have normal, not Dorito crusted pizzas. In more serious pizza news, the United Kingdom's Public Health Department is taking after America and considering allowing pizza and other quote unquote composite foods to count towards their 5 fruit and vegetable servings a day recommendation. The Mirror parsed this out and found that you'd have to eat 3 whole pepperoni pizzas to get 1 daily recommended serving of vegetables. So to all of you brave Britons out there, let us know how that goes. That is this week's Pizza News Brief. We will be right back. You're listening to Pizza Party on Heritage Radio Network.
You are listening to Spicy Peanuts by Evan Hashi.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
It is so exciting to have this new medium.
Hosting After the Jump has been a huge part of me transitioning from being a blogger to somebody who has sort of real important conversations with people in real life.
My show, I kind of describe it as an audio trade magazine.
I learn a ton from the guests every week, whether it's restaurants, bars.
All the hosts at Heritage all come from different perspectives.
Everyone should be listening to this. If you're interested in conservation and practical approach to renewable food sources, you know, not this big industry.
Whether it's history, laws, social policies of food, I think people now take food seriously, and hopefully what's on their plate will become something very special.
And I feel that podcasting has a future, giving people information in a format they can really use on the go.
We need your support to keep these conversations going. To donate, visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hey, my name is Betsy Andrews, executive editor of Severa Magazine, and I am hanging out at the coolest, most delicious place in the world, heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. We are talking to Jenny and Mark Bellow, the co-owners and co-teachers at Pizza Akasa, a pizza self-sufficiency center and home pizza class on the Lower East Side. They actually also stock a ton of really cool pizza supplies. And given that it is the holiday season, I'm wondering what is the favorite, you know, piece of equipment or gadget or thing that you guys sell in the store? What do you really love that's in there?
Personally, I'm really into our baking steel that we sell. A friend of ours makes the baking steel that you're probably hearing more and more about them, and they work really, really well. Since I'm always the one at the oven helping people get their pizzas in and out of the oven, I really appreciate how
Jenny's
baking steels
the
hold.
Pizza traffic controller. Yeah.
Yeah. And very good at it. I mean, there was, 16 people throwing pizzas in the oven usually, and it's always
up to 24 with private events.
Yeah,
that
crazy.
Gets exciting.
She's a boss when she's...
What about you, Mark? What's your favorite gift in the store?
Well, I'm loving the hats that we just bestowed one upon you. So we got these cool new knit hats. But man, it's like, oh, okay, this is kind of exciting. So we sell pizza peels, and Epicurean makes this really great pizza peel that's made of this wood composite that, like, doesn't warp. It's, like, food safe, blah, 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 really great. Well, they just came out with a series of cutting boards, and they did all the 50 states.
Oh, cool.
So we just got in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut.
Awesome. Because,
again, the great...
the great pizza states.
Tri-state area of pizza.
That's awesome. So where and how do you find what you source, and how do you decide, like, hey, this is, we want this in the store? Is there, like, an arsenal of pizza equipment that you should have, or is it a lot of fun, cool stuff? Like,
Mark's always looking for the latest, most fun goodie that he can find. He's like the master hunter of things.
And you also have, actually, Mark, like, a crazy collection of pizza memorabilia. Are you, like, wrapping those two together, just, like, browsing the internet for all things pizza?
But, tchotchke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, a couple recently there was a pizza cologne that came out. We're not selling it.
No, you're not doing that. But how did the pizza memorabilia come to be? And, like, do you have a count? What is it at now? What's the weirdest thing you've ever found? Like, what's the shape of the collection currently?
You know, I haven't yet done, like, an archive and written all this stuff. I probably should, you know, but
get Scott to help you.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, well, and you know, Scott just toured Europe with his pizza books.
Yeah.
I mean, pizza box thing. Amazing.
And might go, like, worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, he was in Berlin and London. Yeah. And then I guess he just told us he's going back to, like, Sweden and, like, a bunch of other places. So bravo. Like,
but he's a good archiver.
Yeah. You know,
keeping 700 plus pizza boxes in order.
Amazing.
Sorry. So your collection is more than just boxes.
Yeah, open a pizza school and guess what most people are going to give you as gifts, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. And then, like, actually one of our favorite pieces of sort of memorabilia that we have on the wall is some felt, like, soft sculptures. It's like a pizza cutter and a pizza slice. Mm-hmm. And the pizza slice is complete with googly eyes on it, too. It's pretty beautiful. And but this is from our dear friends, Rob and Christine, who live up in Toronto. Canadians.
Oh, fellow Canadians.
And actually, Rob also illustrated the app. So he's a really talented guy, and his work is in there. And they made us this beautiful... they made this thing for me. It was like a birthday gift. And then actually for our wedding, they did our cake topper. They did this sort of felt soft sculpture that was two-sided. One side was New York wedding side, and the other was Italian honeymoon side.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Cool. So... what was the honeymoon in Italy like? Was it all pizza all the time?
It was a business trip.
You know, business,
I'm sure you
honeymoon.
Love that, Jenny.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, life, business, it's all intertwined.
Yeah.
It's great.
So what about gifts you've bought each other? I mean, do you guys also buy each other pizza gifts, or you tend to steer away? Like, what are the best gifts you've ever bought or received?
Mark gives me cheeseburgers. That's my favorite.
A little does she even know right now. The windfall. I mean...
the windfall. Don't ruin your... don't
Jenny,
ruin your
Jenny gave me a pair of candlesticks last year that were octopus tentacles.
Candlestick holders, yeah.
Yeah, candlestick holders, yeah.
Yeah.
They're quite beautiful.
Cool.
But, you know, even more... I mean, okay, this is going to sound like a total plug, and it totally is, but more than material things, because, you know, we have a lot of tchotchkes, is experience things, you know, in the same way, like... a lot of people give our class because it's a wonderful time, but also like a life skill and all that. For us, we, like, this year we decided as a gift to one another, we were going to go to see a show, you know, and do, you know, there's so many things like in this great city that when you live here, you kind of take for granted. So like, yeah. So like ride a double decker bus, go see a Broadway show, do all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so what do you think? I mean, I think the classes are a great gift, which you guys gave Aaron and I, which was awesome. But
and
what
you're
you,
naming your children after us,
yes,
correct?
100%. Our future children. Aaron pepperoni. Is about to propose. I know. I picked up the ring
and
everything.
Will they be born with tattoos?
Yeah, they come out with sleeves. What do you think makes your classes sort of special or different from other, you know, cooking classes that maybe you've taken or heard about?
What do you think makes it? You were there.
Whoa, I mean, turning it on me.
Yeah, well, no. But I mean, it's a funny thing. When people say to us, you know, tell me about your class. Am I going to have fun? It's 4 hours. Am I going to be bored? All this kind of stuff. I mean, you're asking me and I can tell you, but more so we always refer people to like TripAdvisor or Yelp because our reviews are from our students where they say it for us. Like, mm-hmm. I thought I was going to fall asleep, you know, because it was a 4-hour class and the time flew by, you know, it was worth every penny, all that kind of stuff. So I can tell you what I think, but you've been there and, you know, what do you think?
That's
and then
true.
Like, really the public says it for us. And what we do is, you know, we genuinely love what we do. And every class is, it's the same, you know, material, but every class is like, I mean, how much fun was the class? Like,
it was, I mean, it was great. The people that were there,
yeah.
both like your assistants are awesome. Who was it? Topi?
Yeah.
She was really cool.
She's
she
awesome.
Was just such a guru, like helping us because you get to top 4 pizzas in the class and that's after already eating Mark's fantastic pizzas that he sort of is demoing and mozzarella and what was it? Soppressata or sausage.
We make our own sausage.
Yeah. So like the house made sausage.
Yeah.
So I should not have eaten the whole day before I got there, but it was just like, especially once we started topping, just a big party and getting to, you know, talk to the other couples who were there and seeing like, you know, where they were coming from. One couple was like a surprise birthday present. One couple they'd driven from like New Haven and, you know, were all about Pepe's. It was just kind of a fun, really relaxed but celebratory vibe. It's like if I could always have parties be like Pizza Casa classes, I would do it.
Yeah, we always say it's so much more than pizza.
Yeah.
Sorry. And our staff, like our sidekicks, mm-hmm. like Topi and Max and Mike, they're so great.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to guide everybody. And the topping part is so, people's minds are blown when they start realizing the pizza is a blank canvas and you can put anything on it.
Yeah, so. For sure. Speaking of like, what have some of the craziest combinations been? Because you guys have like a literal arsenal of toppings, like anything you would want on a pizza you could put. What's like the craziest thing you've either come up with or that you've seen someone in your class come up with?
That's, you know, that's a question actually we get asked a lot and like in class too. And nothing. It's kind of a weird, I mean, first and foremost, pizza is cheese and sauce, you know, and that's when once a place shows you they know how to do that right, then you trust them to get wacky with the ingredients and all that. Our pantry, I'm trying to think of like, you know, cause we stock it with all sorts of, you know, mm-hmm. traditional things you'd expect. And then some crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to say because people come up with so many different ideas. And at this point, because we have seen 30,000 different pizzas
everything.
Made, like I'm not surprised anymore when I see something different. I expect that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
The things that really changed, like what we make, some of the, like people bring ideas to us. A couple of things like, for dessert pizzas, like, Brazilians were coming to class and they all wanted mozzarella and bananas and cinnamon sugar. And I thought, that's really weird. It's delicious.
It sounds really good,
now
actually.
It's something we promote, you know.
Yeah.
So there are these things that happen that change our ideas and it's cool.
Cool.
I also keep a couple packets of squid ink in the pantry, like in the dark back.
For special occasions.
Someone requested it the other day.
Interesting.
And like asked it like, yeah, right, you're going to have this. And I was like, here you go.
Just whipped
so
it out.
We made
put them in
we mixed it. We mixed it. This is also in proximity to Halloween, so it made some sense. But we mixed it with the tomato sauce, and so it made this black. And if you've ever had pasta with like squidding sauce, it's delicious.
Yeah.
So we did it. Essentially, it was like a margarita, but that then had this black sauce on it. And you know, I can't say it was the most pretty pizza, but it was tasty.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It's like, you know.
Cool. Well, we are almost out of time, but if people want to find you guys, take your classes, shop for their holiday gifts, what's the best way for them to find you?
Get a pen and write. No, pizzaschool.com.
Awesome. And you guys are on Essex in the Lower East Side?
We're on Grant. Between Essex and Norfolk.
Cool.
We're right next to Kosar's Bialy's and 2 doors down from the donut plant.
Yep. So you can just carbo load.
It's a row of round carbohydrates. It's good.
And like steps away from what the oldest, longest operating cheese shop in America, right?
Yeah. Well, so we're getting our mozzarella from DiPaolo's, which is at Mott and Grand.
Mm-hmm.
And exciting. February 1st. It's a Sunday night. Lou DiPaolo, who recently came out with a book about his business, his family, the ingredients, the things he sells. He and then his co-writer, Rachel Wharton, are doing an event at our space, a book signing. We're going to be serving antipasti and pizzas made with DiPaolo ingredients, wine. Amazing.
Cool.
Again, you can find it
All right. Yeah. We'll be there. Well, thank you so much to Mark and Jenny Bello, owners and teachers at Pizza Akasa on the Lower East Side. As most of you know, it is giving season here at HRN as well. We're in our winter fundraising drive, and we would love to have you renew or join our wonderful little food-obsessed family this season. You can give any amount, but the more you give, the cooler stuff you get. And the household-level donation gets you an awesome pizza-patterned tote bag. So check it out. Just visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate. In any case, thank you so much for tuning in, and more thanks to our generous sponsor, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, my wonderful engineer Liz, Pizza Party Bass for our intro music, and Roberta's for our on-air pizzas this season. Be sure to tune in next week for Pizza Party's final episode. It's going to be our biggest party yet. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.